This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, what up, Tinky and Tierney? Ready to go on this Wednesday here around the country. Hope everybody's doing well, hanging in. We're hanging from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. So we got a lot to get into today. Obviously, Twitter should be hot. Get us there, at Tiki and Tierney. Instagram, same thing, at Tiki and Tierney. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. We got a lot of football. You know, it's funny. Every time Nick Sirianni opens his mouth or says, I mean, he gets lambasted. I'm going to defend him today.
All right.
I'm going to try to defend him next segment. We'll get to that. The Eagles, though, continue to baffle most. We'll get to that. Setback with James Harden. So the Nets issues, you know, further exacerbated again. Something that we've talked about for a long time. You know, no NBA team. Now, it's a little different, no home court or much less of a home court advantage this year. So this is a pretty important stat. I'm not sure it's incredibly pertinent to this year, but it is what it is. No NBA teams won a championship when their three top leading scorers have missed at least 10 games each.
Oh, wow.
The Nets, yes, the Nets' leading scorers, all three, have missed at least 10 games each. So we'll get to that. We've got an interesting Belichick story out of the chute. But first, let me say what up to my partner, Teak. How you doing, buddy? You good?
All's good, man. It's funny. We talked about 2 days ago, the European Super League, and now it's on hold, and everybody's gotten out. That was nuts. I've been following it all day. The question now, because it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, all the EPL, the English Premier League teams, have withdrawn. The question is, are all these executives going to get canned, which could be the case. We've already seen a couple of them step down, but it's a big story. It's probably going to subside over the next couple of days, but that's a little crazy how that went down.
Listen, slowly dissipating, but I mean, a fervor, an uproar, no question about it. First, when the news broke, and then the resistance to it, it's been a huge story globally, no question about it. So Belichick, let's get to Billy Boy. Let's get to Hoodie here. You know, I think that
I'm not buying this story, by the way.
You're not buying the story.
No. We'll go through it.
Let me set this up for everybody. So we all recall the story, which was well-sourced and very well-written. Seth Wickersham wrote a piece back in 2017, pretty explosive, because nothing had really, you know, left the building in Foxborough. Everything was in-house. Very rarely did anything permeate their building and almost you know, less rarely, if you can say that, did anything ever really leave their building. They had a great isolation. Like, they were almost detached from the rest of civilization, oddly. Like, they just went about their way and handled business, and nobody chirped, and very few contract squabbles, nothing outhouse, nothing in-house, just pretty harmonious, at least what we thought. And then this piece in 2017 with Seth painted a bit of a different picture, a power struggle. Which, you know, I buy a lot of that. I can see that with Belichick and Brady. As much as they worked so well jointly, they are two, you know, Brady's the greatest quarterback and Belichick's the greatest coach in terms of accomplishments. So I can see why there might be a little resistance, a little clash of egos. Even if egos are in check, they're still human beings. So I found that very believable. And then, you know, from the piece, it emerged that because of the unsure nature of the relationship or the discontent from Belichick's point of view, that he went so far as to explore a couple of the job openings. One was with the Giants, right? They hired Pat Shurmur instead. One was with Washington. They retained Jay Gruden. The other was Miami. They retained Adam Gase.
That's hysterical. I mean, that just breaks you up. That puts you in stitches. They retained Adam Gase. Just listen to how that sounds.
They retained Adam Gase. Willingly, they retained Adam Gase. You say you're not buying this. I want to know what part are you not buying? That he was looking to maybe coach elsewhere?
But the fact that he would ever leave. And it's interesting, just as an aside real quick, BT. Yeah. So Pat Shurmur, Adam Gase, and Jay Gruden. Yeah. Collectively, did they even stay the 4 years that now Bill Belichick is with the New England Patriots?
No, because obviously Shurmur was with the Jets for a couple of years. Shurmur was two and done with your guys. Yep. Jay was bounced a couple of games, whatever it was. Four games in, whatever it was, right?
I mean, it's crazy.
Four?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah,
whatever
I think it was five. I think it was five.
Yeah.
I mean, does he want to – look, was Bill Belichick himself reaching out and saying, hey, Daniel Snyder, I'm interested in taking the job? Probably not. It was his people, I don't know, churning the waters a little bit. Let me just see if there's some interest over here, and maybe this is something I would consider. So if you got to get all the facts right, not the facts right, but the facts laid out there, BT, because you got them right. But here's the other side of this.
Go for it.
This was the first offseason, we remember this, right, that Tom Brady skipped the offseason workout. Mm-hmm. This is coming off the 2017 season, 2018 Super Bowl. The New England Patriots had lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, and what was a game that the Eagles, just played so well. I don't want to say they outcoached them, but in a lot of ways they did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We all remember this. And Tom Brady was, I don't know, he was starting to probably get a little bit tired of the same old, especially after losing. It makes you feel like, it's over, mm-hmm. right? Not dissimilar.
Like the old methodology no longer worked,
yes,
kind of deal?
Yes,
oh, I got
yes.
You. Okay.
Like what we used to do, just not going to work anymore.
Gotcha.
Like we just can't get people who we think we're better than. We just can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what happened last season with Tom Brady, and he ultimately left. I think as a whole, they were thinking, maybe this thing is just going to break up naturally, and it'll be amicable. And yes, we're starting to rub each other the wrong way, but that's familiarity. It's a cliche, right? It breeds contempt, and you
familiarity breeds contempt,
right? You get tired of the same thing over and over. Not that you hate it; it was greatly successful, but maybe you just want to try something new. Mm-hmm. And but the idea that he would actually leave, I don't know if he was ever going to think about leaving.
Well, I mean, listen, this is just human nature. You mm-hmm. talk about when you have a long relationship, and we can use marriages. I mean, anybody who says that, they wake up every morning and the birds are chirping and the roses are sprinkled on the pillow, stop. I mean, that's not when you have kids running around, not when you have bills, not when you have pressure. That's not life. Now, hopefully there's more mornings like that than not. But not every morning is, where the birds, they bring the little silk nightgown to your wife and, an owl puts slippers and a pipe for the man. Stop. It's ridiculous. And even the Yankee, I'll bring up Derek Jeter. It got contentious not with Joe Torre or Joe Girardi, the former skipper before mm-hmm. Boone, but it certainly got contentious with Cashman and Jeter.
Yep.
When it got to the end and Derek was not quite as bouncy, as rangy as he was at shortstop, the defensive metrics were not kind to him. He knew his place in the city. He knew his reverence throughout baseball.
But he was never going to leave.
Well, no. He was never going to leave, but there was definitely acrimony, for sure. And, to the point where Cashman had to tell him and Cashman had to play the role of bad guy. And I give Cashman credit for that. As much as I respect Jeter, that had to be said because there was an obvious deterioration of his, just overall dexterity. It's one thing if you're playing quarterback and you're not known for speed. If you're playing shortstop in the middle of the diamond in a relatively young man's game, that's tough to hide. You can hide somebody at DH or at first base. You can't hide somebody at shortstop. I say all this because this stuff doesn't surprise me. Listen, do I think that Brady got bored with Belichick or a little immune to the messaging? Yeah, I do, because after 20 years, it's a very stale, very direct, very non-engaging way of interacting with people. It's just very businesslike. And businesslike works until it gets a little old. You need a galvanization. I don't care who you are. You need some sort of galvanization. So I'm not surprised. I believe that Brady was getting frisky. And I have said for, God, I'd say at least 2 years on this show that I firmly believe that Bill Belichick will eventually coach elsewhere. I've said it. I believe that Bill Belichick is the kind of person where you're going to have to rip the hoodie and rip the whistle off of his neck. I don't think this guy's going to be happy going in the booth or going on TV fishing every day with whomever. He's got a coach.
Yeah.
There's an expiration date on that, Teague. I don't care how great you are.
Well, here's the problem. Is Bill Belichick equipped? I think the answer is yes, but I'm not actually positive that I would say yes, given how kids are, how young kids coming into the league are in 2021 and beyond. So he's definitely coaching the Patriots in 2021. So let's say 2022.
Absolutely.
Bill Belichick is now the head coach of, I don't know, pick a team.
Let's pick a great team, but go through it. Whoever the team is,
it's got a couple of established leaders, veterans, not too old, not like 35 years old who you can just get rid of and move on from. And hey, thanks for the great career. We'll put you in your ring of honor and peace out. We're starting anew. But it's Bill Belichick. Does he want to go reestablish the culture? Because he doesn't know any other way to do it. You know, it's not like he's all of a sudden going to become this, hey guys, let's go bowling. Hey guys, let's crack it up here and there. He's not going to be that guy. So wherever he goes, he's going to have to take his philosophy, that culture, that detail-oriented approach, and inject it into a new organization. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. There's going to be some resistance from the existing guys there, some of the veterans. Some guys may love it. Others may not.
See, right? I don't worry about that, by the way. Because
ultimately, look, Tom Coughlin's a perfect example, and it's his personal experience. He came to the Giants. I mean, it took him 2 years, maybe three, to turn over the roster, you know, get rid of those guys who didn't buy into his way of doing things and his methodology. And it 3 years, it was a rough 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, there was growth. You could see it, but it was a rough 3 years. And then ultimately, he broke through and won two championships, and now he's a Hall of Fame coach, right? Bill Belichick isn't young enough to wait 2 or 3 years after next year to go someplace else and start over again.
And have a couple of years before you build a base back up.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't.
Well, who
see
says
it
he's got to go to a complete rebuilding job? I'm not saying that.
I mean,
you're making it seem like he's going to go to a 2-14 team. Why? He doesn't have to.
But this
go
is
to
what,
an underachieving 8-8. Go to Chicago. Go to Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I told you I'd come up with a good one.
But that
for
might
you.
Be the only, that might be the only one.
Well, I mean, listen, Zimmer could be on thin ice with Minnesota. Are we going to actually start playing the hot seat game in April?
Yeah,
probably
in
early
April
for that. But I mean, if McCarthy bombs with the Cowboys, yeah, you never know. See, the window to me, I really thought the most natural fit and the complete, you know, evolution and revolution, probably revolution of his football career, you know, around the sun would be to go back to the Giants. But I think that window's missed because, number one, you and I both believe Joe Judge could be there for a long time.
Oh, he sent his guy there. So
for sure.
It's not like he's going to go, hey, Joe Judge, go take this job. I groomed you exactly.
Then I'm going to stab you in the back.
Joe, I'm taking your job, bro.
Exactly.
Sorry, man.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
You can come be my special team coach if you want. But
yeah, keep the seat warm for me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I hear you. I think the window was missed if he had that in his heart with the Giants. And I know how much he reveres the Giants organization. He reveres history. He knows history. That sit down, it was a Football Life with Bill Parcells was just riveting stuff.
Agreed.
And it's incredible. You could just listen to you. It's very rare that you hear like a wistful, energized Bill Belichick. He almost seemed like a kid getting reintroduced to the sport or introduced to the sport for the first time. It really stood out to me. Now, I don't think he needs to go to a downtrodden franchise because maybe you're right. Maybe the timeline doesn't fit that if that indeed happens. But I will say, and I know it's a totally different era, but I saw it with my own eyes. Antique, I did not think it could happen as quickly as it did. 3-13 and then 1-15. That's what my team did. It's a million years. I get it. The league's different. World's different. 1995, 3-13. 1996, 1-15. The Jets, right? Then they bring in Parcells. They lure him away with that poison pill contract, right? Well, that was for it was for Bill, but also for Curtis Martin the next year, 98.
Yeah.
He goes there, 97. He doesn't have Curtis Martin yet. He's got Adrian Morrell. They go from 1-15 to 9-7, which, okay, but they win 46-3 on opening day in Seattle. I have seen turnarounds based on discipline. Now, again, different era, understood. But if there's one, if you want the most direct route, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong with this, if you want the most direct route to at least being a representative team, right? Get rid of the penalties.
Yeah.
Have a little discipline and show some passion.
Yeah.
And you're telling me he can't purge through a roster and get rid of a bunch of me guys and bring in some young, hungry veterans, young veterans and rookies that want to play the right way?
Yeah.
To at least get decent?
I mean, maybe.
I think he could.
But what would be the point?
So because he's tired of New England. Okay, wants a new challenge.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
But does it enhance his legacy?
But does I don't know. He doesn't care about that.
Okay, so then why would he leave?
Because he wants a new challenge. Like Brady got a little bored of the repetitive nature.
Yeah.
Maybe Bill Belichick's a little tired walking into the same building every day for 20 years.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Brady's a little bit different to me when I think about it. Because we've seen how Brady is with these, not that he's corny, but he does these corny things with Rob Gronkowski. And they're sitting on those two, whatever, those Adirondack chairs or whatever, sitting in the middle of the field. They're cracking it up with each other and having fun, joking. You know, that's Tom Brady. And that's what he wanted to be. He could never have done that in New England. And I think he wanted an escape away from the structure, this rigid structure. Not to say that Tampa doesn't have a structure. It does. But it's obvious there's some room for leeway, right? And you see it on Bucs social media as compared to Patriots social media, right? How they put these things out there. And Tom wanted something like that as opposed to being stuck in this box that's immobile. Bill Belichick is the architect of that box, right?
Yeah, and I'm not going to disagree with that.
So it's his home. It's his house. He built it. And he's lived there for two decades now. Well, actually, more than two decades. 22 seasons he's lived there, and it's got all of its, I don't know, you know this now because you're a homeowner like me. Remember what I told you? When you buy a house, you buy a house because you don't have anything else to do, because you know you're going to have projects constantly, whether it's your lawn, whether it's, I don't know, the vanity or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick knows all the ins and outs of this house that he built.
No question.
And at 70 years old, he just turned 70, is he going to go build another house? I mean, seriously, think about that.
Well,
I just don't see it.
I got you. But again, you keep going back to that he's going to buy a complete fixer-upper. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a place where there's only modest renovations necessary.
I think
somewhere in between. Now, I wouldn't bet money necessarily that Bill Belichick is coaching a different team in 2022.
Yeah. By the way, I would not rule it out
as definitively as you are and others. And I've been saying this for 2 years.
Yeah.
This story doesn't, is what I've been saying.
Yeah. By the way, this isn't a live story. This didn't just happen like today. This happened 4 years ago. Three or four years ago. Mm. It's not like we're hearing reports that Bill Belichick wants to leave the New England Patriots right now.
No.
The question is...
The engagement with other teams is new.
Yes.
Now we found out that it was the Giants, Washington, and Miami. That's new.
Yeah. The question is, could you see Bill Belichick coaching somewhere else?
Yes.
I say no.
Okay.
You say yes.
All right.
We might never find out.
We might not. D-Cell, what do you think real quick? Did you ever see it?
Hard for me to picture it. I don't see it.
Okay. Yeah. We'd love to get some opinions on Twitter. What do you think? I mean, he is 70, so that number does mean something. I know 70 is the new 60, but you're still 70.
Uh-huh.
And until the average life expectancy goes from 77 or so to, you know, 85, 86, 70 is still 70. He's in good health. Knock on wood. God bless him. I think it's on the table. My partner doesn't think it is nearly on the table as much. We'll see. But love to get your thoughts, and you can weigh in on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Belichick at a different address, and if so, where? Hit us up. We'll see what happens. All right, coming up, everybody's blasting Sirianni, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach. His press conference wasn't very encouraging.
BT.
My mother says to pick this very best draft pick, and out goes Y-O-U. Albert can't draft you. Get out. I'm going to defend him. I think this was a lazy reaction by so many. I think this was reaching for the low-hanging fruit. I think there's an absence of common sense in this. And not necessarily the press conference. in the stuff with Sirianni today, jumping to conclusions, I'll tell you why, and I'll defend them. Next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, we back. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. James Harden re-aggravates the hammy. Back to square one. That's how it's been described by head coach Steve Nash. So when the Nets will be whole again, who knows? We'll hit that coming up at 4 Eastern. And speaking of basketball, we're going to get to the Eagles here. But, Tiki, if I told you, Ryan, in late fall, that a late April game between the Knicks and the Hawks would be incredibly meaningful, what would you say?
I would have laughed at you.
So would I. I would never even say it. It is. Wow. For the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference tonight, both teams hot. Hawks won again last night. Knicks won again, 7 straight. Both teams have won 8 of 10. I mean, it'd be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We'll do some more NBA a little bit later, and we'll do inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. So, you see, to me, the easy thing to do in life is to pile on.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can pile on. This at its most primitive form, this even goes back to the schoolyard when everybody's making fun of, you know, snot-nosed Johnny or, you know, the kid who has, unfortunately, dirty clothes. Like, you know, kids are just ruthless, man. You know that. Just, I don't even want to say other things that they get made fun of for. It's uncomfortable to even say it. But we all went to school.
Yep.
And we all know what kids can make fun of other kids about. The easy thing to do is to sit there, pile on, because there's going to be no resistance because it's 7, 8, 10 on 1. Mm-hmm. Everybody's laughing at the poor kid. And that's the easy thing to do. The tough thing to do is to stand up and put your arm around that young boy or girl and say, you know what? This is my friend. Back off, right? It takes real gumption and real awareness to do that. And it also takes, you know, not even so much intelligence. It takes common sense to do that pertaining to our next topic. Nick Sirianni, I grant you. Now, it wasn't quite Adam Gase bad, but his press conference was not good.
No, it was lost.
It wasn't good.
It was disjointed. It was lost. He knew what he was trying to say, but he just couldn't transfer it from brain to lips, and it just came out kind of convoluted.
All
but
over the map.
It is what
sloppy.
It is.
Exactly.
He's never been in that situation before. I mean, is he unprepared to be the head coach? I have no idea. We'll find out once guys actually get there and they actually start playing games and we hear reports about him being great or we hear reports about him being terrible. He just didn't know how to talk in his first press conference, which is okay. There's a lot of people that fail their first press conference.
Yeah, I can't make that deduction off of, you know, some viral clips and, you know, I'm not going to do. Now, Adam Gase was a little different because it was his second head coaching spot and he's been through this, whatever. But you and I both gave him a relative pass and, hey, let him at least get in the building before we get a sense of what he may or may not be.
Yeah, we made fun of him. But
oh, well, no, we definitely laughed at him. And I kind of said, I'm happy.
You know, but you can't judge a guy like that. You can't judge him off that.
Not right to do that. And I'm also not going to – we'll get to the rock, paper, scissors. That's such a small thing in a moment. But the misrepresentation today, and I was just reading social media, everybody piling on. Nick Sirianni had the gumption. I want everybody to realize just, you know, how cavalier this football coach is. Mm-hmm. You know, how renegade he truly is. He had the gumption to tell the football world that 4 months before the start of the season, he was not prepared to hand the starting quarterback job to somebody who, number one, was 1-3. Get it, byproduct of team, so I'm not going to leave that too much at Jalen Hurts' doorstep.
Yeah.
What he was, 1-3, had a 52% completion percentage and had an interception rate that was trending toward 3%, which is inordinately high, as you and I have discussed before.
Grossly high.
Very high. It's about 2.8, right? It's almost 3. So we know he can run. We know he showed some gumption, some poise out of the pocket. And again, I like Jalen Hurts, and he's intriguing enough to me for him to be in the mix for the starting job in Philadelphia. But why in the world would Nick Sirianni come out and say, he's my guy? You never know what happens on draft day. Keep it open, compete. If somebody trades down, you scoot up, you get a quarterback, something wacky happens. And if you anoint him the starter today, you've got to go back, revisit this, and you look as if you're either a liar or you can't be trusted. I love what he did.
Look, I'm not even worried about that.
I love
it. If he was confused, he should have just said, "I'm just my first year. I haven't seen Jalen Hurts in pads yet. We'll make that determination whether or not he's a starter once he earns his starting position." Here is the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, talking about who his starting quarterback is going to be.
To name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days, right? We've been working with these guys for 2 days. My biggest thing is competition. It's again, we've talked a little bit about my core values. It's my second core value. It's this team's second core value. Competition's a huge thing. And we're going to have competition at every position.
I love it.
By the way, BT, that's exactly what was wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. Exactly. We nailed it with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. As soon as this budding QB controversy came to light, it was all about love of competition and not wanting it. So the fact that he understands that immediate history of the Eagles mm-hmm. and is saying the right thing as it yeah. pertains to competition, I am 100% on board. I'm not debating you about that at all. Never could, never will. He's a new head coach. He doesn't know these guys. He doesn't know, you know, what they're going to mean in his system or whatever system he tries to implement. So it'd be irresponsible for him to say, this guy is my starter and we're going to rely on him. Now, if it's Tom Brady, that's a different story, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's Jalen Hurts, who was a second-round pick and played four games last year.
You don't have a real deep monetary commitment to him. Mm-hmm. You have very little on film. You've been around him virtually for 2 days, as you said. It would be irresponsible to do anything else. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't be the starter. But, again, you've got to keep options open.
Yeah.
And, by the way, I actually – not only will I defend him, I will give him great credit for having a pretty large amount of awareness because it's the complete antithesis of a year ago. Now, you and I do our national show. We talked a lot about Carson Wentz, a lot, right?
Yes.
And Philly, how they were, you know, to take the training wheels off and, you know, let him keep it before they actually gave it to Jalen Hurts. He doesn't deserve to play. Why is he still going? Like, there was entitlement where it was no longer justified. And, and you and I pointed that out a lot. He knows. Now, that's from our national perch. Imagine being in Philly every single day, living that, calling up WIP, you know, reading the websites, clicking away on social media, and that was chapping you. That was burning you. So can you imagine if the next guy comes in and makes the same exact mistake?
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's the exact opposite. It's smart.
The only reason it gets a little dicey is because from what we're hearing, Jeffrey Lurie, who is the owner of the Eagles, wants Jalen Hurts to be the guy.
But that's a different conversation.
I agree. It's a different conversation. I'm just saying. It's just out there a little bit.
Yes,
now,
it is.
They signed Joe Flacco as their backup.
Is Joe elite?
Joe's not stealing this job from Jalen Hurts, unless Jalen Hurts is just actually terrible. Mm-hmm. And we just were mesmerized because he was so different than Carson Wentz last year as far as being somewhat productive, even if it was just with his legs. But let's not forget, this is Josh Allen was the same way when he was a rookie. He was a horrible completion percentage.
I think it was about the same number, just about 52%.
Maybe. I think you're outright.
He was right around there.
But he did a lot with his legs. He was like, dude, find a way to win, man. Find a way to be productive. Eventually, we'll teach you how to throw the football. And so, I have no issue with Nick Sirianni at this point. It's way, way too early to start judging him just because he doesn't want to name Jalen Hurts a starter at quarterback. And you're right, BT. They move back in the draft. They might move back up. We don't know. They might draft a quarterback. We have no idea what's going to happen come a week from tomorrow.
It's coming.
Crazy. The draft is here already. Week from tomorrow, Philly could take a quarterback.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Correct. All right. Do you want to, you know, go on a little riff here and make fun of him for the whole rock paper? It doesn't move me. Like, to me, I actually think it's somewhat original. I think it's somewhat funny. There's people bagging on him for that. For those who missed the story, apparently he did some rock, paper, scissors with some of the draft prospects to gauge their competitive nature. I think it's okay. Did you have an issue with this?
So
I'm not making fun of the guy for that either.
So let's listen to it first, and then we'll talk about it.
I think the things that are pretty common for good players that we've been around is it does take something that they have inside. And so we tried to figure out, is this guy love football, right? Is this guy competitive? Is this guy tough? Does this guy have high football IQ? We were trying to answer those questions on every one, because when you're competitive, when you're tough, when you have high football IQ, and when you love football, you're going to take your skill talent and you're going to maximize that. I played a couple of them at rock, paper, scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking trash to him. Did you talk trash back to me? Right?
I love it. I mean, listen, to me, Teak, to me, it's no different.
Like, I know Seattle's got a rim in their facility, like a basketball hoop, right? We've seen Seattle. Like, if he's like, hey, you know, let's go play a game of horse. Like, what's the difference if you're flinging horseshoes or shooting hoops?
Because it's rock, paper, scissors,
so
dude.
What?
Five-year-olds can play this game.
Can I make a really sad admission that I told D-Cell during the break?
What's that?
I don't know how to play. I swear to God, I don't know how to play.
It's easy. If it's rock beats scissors.
Rock crushes the scissor. I know the scissor cuts the paper, and the paper covers the rock?
Covers the rock.
But still, see, what we did in the street, this was simple. Like, hey, we're playing wiffle ball, right?
Yeah.
I'm up first. No, I'm up first. No, I'm up. You argue, and if you don't get into a fight, you say, all right, 21st finger's it, right? So you could throw out one or two fingers. If I throw out two, if Tiki throws out one, you start counting. Whoever's got the 21st finger, that's who's hitting first. We never did rock, paper, scissors in the street. Our first flag football game 2 weeks ago, now I'm an assistant coach, but they called the head coaches. They didn't have the Under Armour, hadn't sent the coin yet to the league. So they did rock, paper, scissors. I'm saying to myself, I have no idea how to do it.
That's
I don't even know if we won.
That's funny. And again, I'm not judging him on rock, paper, scissors. This is just another, like... Because there's levity here.
Exactly.
Like, he's half joking.
He's humanized.
It's just funny because it's like, who the hell plays rock, paper, scissors with a 20-year-old kid who's, you know, 295 pounds and wants to rip somebody's head off? Hey, kid, how competitive are you? Can you beat me rock, paper, scissors? Can you? Let's go. Rock, paper, scissors says, shoot. Ah, I got you. I got you. You put a rock out there. Yeah.
We're going to play Donkey Kong next. A little Pac-Man. Hey, listen. You know what?
Here's the thing.
Whatever.
Here's the
Not
thing.
A big deal.
Here's the thing. He's a little bit corny. It is what it is, right? It doesn't mean he's going to be a bad head coach.
But. You know what? He comes across as – but I get the sense that when there's no microphone, he's dropping some F-bomb. Like, I think
there's no
doubt highly – and that
there's
will
no
play.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about
That'll
it.
That'll play. So I'm not bagging on the guy. I don't know if he can coach. I have no idea. But to give the job to somebody that barely completed 50% of his passes and was 1-3 – and threw almost as many picks as touchdowns when you're getting ready to draft in a week?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
You wouldn't.
Exactly. So I thought it was very lazy by a lot of people. A lot of people I know and a lot of people I respect that do this for a living. I thought it was just kind of piling on. Oh, look at Sirianni, the clown who had a horrible press conference.
Hey,
lazy.
He could be a clown, but it doesn't mean he's not going to be a good head coach. I'm just saying. Seriously.
You what am I here to entertain you? Am I a clown?
Yeah, what am I? Am I funny to you?
I watch now. Axe going to start reciting every line from the movie. Ack, how you doing today, buddy?
My favorite all-time movie.
How did I know that? So we'll get Axe update. We'll get Axe update here. After that, inbounds, out of bounds. Patrick Mahomes says he's working on a weakness. I don't see many weaknesses, but he's working on one. Can he actually get better? What is his ceiling? We'll hit that in inbounds, out of bounds next after Axe update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right. This one's here for all the fellas. Tiki and I here. Get ready for inbounds, out of bounds in a moment. First, though, it is time for our Ask the Pros part of the show. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you get a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Drop us a tweet and send it to @CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you listen later on, and we'll answer the best one, and we'll circle back to it. So we'll debate it. Give us something to hit. Give you some props as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Brian Billick later on. We'll get to James Harden's situation. What that means for the Nets, history says not a very good omen. But right now, Tiki, ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds. You good to go?
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
I think we have some good ones here today. Let's start with the NFL. Patrick Mahomes. He's taken the NFL by storm since replacing Alex Smith in Kansas City. He's got the MVP. Couple of Super Bowl appearances, one win, and it doesn't feel like Mahomes can get a whole lot better. However, in speaking with reporters this week, Mahomes said he found a flaw in his game after he rewatched the Super Bowl loss to the Bucks.
Just having to continue to take what's there. I think there was times in the game where maybe we were down in the game and I tried to scramble and make a play happen when I didn't have to. They were playing a lot of deep coverages and I probably could have handed it off on some of the RPO type options that we had. And then at the end of the day, we just got to execute at a higher level as an offense.
All right, there you go. Good awareness there. Always trying to get better. Inbounds, out of bounds, Teak. We do think it's a wise move for Mahomes to check down and hand the ball off on RPOs more rather than going for the big bomb all the time.
Yeah, especially when you're down. I mean, you don't catch back up with one play. It makes you feel better and maybe shifts momentum a little bit, but the fundamentals still have to apply. You got to move the ball field position-wise, get first downs, and not just always look for the big shot. That was ultimately the problem. So I'm going to say inbounds at this, BT, because, yep, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to make first downs. You can't score if you don't have the football. And so all those shots that they kept taking and Pat Mahomes kept, you know, going after, it was putting them in second and third and fourth and long situations, not, you know, manageable situations where you can continue the drive and then possibly go score. So inbounds, this is an easy one.
I agree. I know nobody likes field goals, but sometimes in certain spots, field goals are actually pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's tempting when you have, you know, Cheetah streaking downhill, downfield, and, you know, he's got some separation, or at least you believe,
yep,
that he's going to get separation. Let me give him a little more time. Let me buy time and then just fling it on a string 60 yards down the field, see what happens. But you're right, when it falls harmlessly to the turf, now it's second and 10, you're behind the chains, or third and 10, whatever it might be, and it's not as great as he is and as innovative as they are with Reed and Bieniemy and the rest of the offensive concepts there. It's not winning football once you play disciplined, you know, mm-hmm, highly intellectual, instinctual, intuitive teams and,
yep,
and coordinators. So on defense, so I this is easy. Take what's there, and when you start doing that, you'll start to suck them in, and you'll be surprised more bombs will actually be there.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so while a lot of eyes have been on the Celtics, and of course my Knicks red hot, Knicks 7 straight in the Eastern Conference, the Atlanta Hawks, I mentioned them before, they're rising up the standings as well. They've won 9 of 11, sit fourth in the East, 3.5 back of the third-seeded Bucks. That is an amazing number.
Yeah, it is.
Let me say that again.
I know.
The Hawks are 3.5 games behind the Bucks. Wow. More impressively, they're 18-6 in the 24 games since they fired Lloyd Pierce and going to interim head coach Nate McMillan in the process. So do we believe the Hawks could make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals this season? Inbounds, out of bounds?
I'm going to say out of bounds, only because you look at the Knicks, their same record. The Boston Celtics are only a game back from them. And then Miami, who we know can get hot, especially if Jimmy Butler turns into that Jimmy Butler that's inspiring people, as we talked about yesterday with Bam Adebayo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have that much separation from all the other teams. And to me, I see the Eastern Conference Finals being Philly and Brooklyn. So I'm going to say out of bounds only because of the circumstances that's above them.
Well, it's funny. I'm going to lean on the circumstances as well, but I'm just going to come up with a different answer. I'm going to say the answer is inbounds. Again,
yeah.
I'm not running to the casino to cash in to put money on this bet.
What do you think that line is?
Oh, God. If I had it off the top of my head, for the Hawks to get, I'm sure Santa
to the Eastern Conference
this, to
find
get
it,
to the
yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm testing Sharp Tierney for the first time in a while.
A I'm going to say Atlanta is, at that point, around plus 400-ish, maybe
okay.
450.
We'll look it up.
Xanthra. I'm curious. I don't think it's going to be too much more than that. And if it is, it might be a decent play because of the because of the circumstances. Now, you mentioned the Nets. We'll get to James Harden's situation coming mm-hmm. up at the top of the hour. That hamstring back to square one. That's what Steve Nash told us. So it's Kevin Durant. He's been gimpy the whole season. And while Kyrie Irving, even though he's missed some time, it's not really health. It's been some other stuff. Kyrie Irving, you know, very rarely goes multiple months throughout his career without any sort of injuries. Now, he's playing so well, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, and they can't afford that. But between the Nets' injury history this year together, between Embiid's injury history, between the, I know they're hot now, the underachieving ways of the Boston Celtics, I don't love the Bucks, so I'd give them a puncher's chance there anyway. Now, if you remember, and maybe Santa could look this up, I believe I had the Hawks coming into this season. I want to say I had them as a 4 or 5 seed.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have the Knicks as a playoff team. I don't believe. I know I didn't. But I really liked Atlanta, and there was such colossal underachievement, which is why, with all due respect, a month and a half into the season, I said, I'm like, I know nationally nobody really cares about the Hawks. I said, Lloyd Pierce is not doing a good job. This team should be a lot better. Fourth quarter meltdowns. I thought he was rightfully fired. I mean, and I said that. So I do think that there was a lot of underachievement. This is more representative of who I thought they would be. And they have a better coach now in McMillan. I'm going to say that they've got a puncher's chance, slightly inbounds, to make a run to the conference finals.
Are you in or are you out?
Did Santer happen to find those odds yet or no?
He has not.
Anything pop up? All right, D-Cell, if they pop up or Teak, if you see them in the Slack chain, just let me know. So, after starting the season 0-6, there were some, like my partner, who thought the A's would lose their first 10 games to the point where we made an on-air bet. And the next day, I had a nice bottle of Hibiki Japanese whiskey, which was very nice. Very nice. Half gone, by the way. I had
in one sitting.
But no, it wasn't just me.
I know. Not just you, but I'm just saying.
For sure. Well, that's the night that I called you. I could tell.
I could tell.
Your boy was a little loopy. First thing. Now, they must have been listening here, because since that bet was made, they've won 10 straight, all right, and 11 of their last 12, and they sit in a tie for first in the American League West. They're 11-7. In or out, the A's are the, again, the A's there. Are they the best team in the American League West this year? In or out?
Oh, man, I don't know if I can say that. By the way, this is Tiki and Tierney mojo by proxy.
Yes, it is.
Because seriously. Because I thought they were, just looking at the schedule, I had no chance. Are they the best team in the West? I mean, I can't say that. Maybe I can. You know, because I'm trying to think.
Boy, talk about flipping.
No, I'm just trying to think, like, who's better, you know, right now? And it's Seattle? Maybe they are. Yeah, I mean, they're on a hot streak. So I'm going to say inbounds.
Angels look pretty good, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Trout smashed a bomb. By the way.
But here's the thing. We know what's going to happen with the Angels, right? Because we see it every year, don't we?
I don't know about that. I don't know. Otani was back on the mound last night. First time since the blister. Mm-hmm. They could always make a trade. You know, Rendon's there. He hasn't really hit yet. Otani's a beast. I mean, they got some players.
Yeah.
They're shorts. The second baseman. I'm trying to find these odds, by the way. This is bothering me. Eastern, you know what? Here we go. Oh, wow. Atlanta. Wow. Jeez. Oh, my good God. I was way off. Oh, this is before the start of the season, so. Because it's plus 4,000. That makes no sense for the Hawks. I think that they are the second best team in the American League West. I still like the Astros. I do. Now, McCullers is hurt. Not bad, but he missed the start. Bregman is hurt. So they've got some of their marquee players down. And I think when it's all said and done, I think, I look at what the A's are doing. I know they're good. I know that they're good. And I know that they're well managed. I've always said that. But I think that the Astros, people jumped off the ship a little bit too early because they lost Springer.
Yep.
You know, but with McCullers back, he's got the contract. He was pretty good his first start. I think over the course of 162, it's a tight race. I think the A's will be right there for the wild card. And obviously the Angels, too. But I think it would be the Astros right now. James Harden handy is barking. We'll get back to that next. Hour two coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.